Well, knock me down and steal my teeth. Double D's done told you that.
Too bad that's too big to put on a shirt.
You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to episode 333 of the Help Me With HIPAA podcast. That's right. Three threes. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, David.
How are you?
I am good. You know, a little rowdy here and there, wound up, being able to get stuff done. I do not feel like I'm drowning. That's all good. It probably will be over this afternoon. I'll feel drowning again.
Yeah, I was fixing to say, I'm exact opposite then.
You're just pegged out.
I'm drowning everywhere I turn. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Just keep paddling. You know, there's that whole thing about, you know, I need to look like a duck. On the top, on the surface, they're just smooth riding along. Underneath, they're paddling like mad. That's it. That's what we are.
Yeah. Yeah. I must be the legs then. you just be the duck, I'll be the legs.
That'd be hard between the two of us and our distraction levels. Legs think that's over there to the left is interesting. It thinks that's interesting to the right.
If you and I were ducks, we'd be the ones swimming in circles. Yeah.
Arguing about which way to go. So congratulations, Grandpa.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I've done a lot of work to get here.
took you decades.
Yeah, I know. I started a long time ago to get down this trail.
Percolating.
Yep. So my daughter-in-law sends me a message yesterday, and apparently they are trying to figure out what each grandparent wants to be called, which... You know, not a thing that I thought I would have to figure out, but apparently I do. And it's been more angst for my wife than it has been for me. She's literally on a website with all these names of
grandparents. I can totally see Lori doing that.
It's been hilarious. Some of the... You should Google it sometimes. Some of the grandparent names are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say any of them because some of you might use it. But my ex-wife, which is the mother of my kids, she wants to be called Mimi, which I thought was appropriate. Why?
Enough about me. Let's talk about me.
Mimi. So, in which I immediately responded, then you should call me Yu-Yu.
Because you're a witty guy.
Yeah. But then I had to quickly backtrack because, you know, my daughter-in-law is not from the States. And so she thought I was being serious and that this was the name that you call people. I'm like, no. No, don't do that. And so, but
she was like, okay.
Yeah. But my wife's trying to figure out names. And so, you know, it's all kind of names. Like there's 100 and something different names she pulled out of this one. And she's going down the list. And I'm like, I don't like any of these. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute. I love this one. And she goes, what is it? I said, Big Mama. And she's like, no, I'm sorry. It wasn't Big Mama. It was Big Mammy. That's what it was. Big Mammy. Big Mammy. She's like, if that kid calls me Big Mammy one time, I'm going to slap you.
Yeah, you'll get slapped. That's a good move.
Yeah.
Good move.
So she's still trying to figure it out. So if any of the listeners want to send their suggestions for a grandmother name, she's still trying to figure that out. For me, it's pretty quick. I said, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while, and I want to be called Grandmaster D.
There you go. Can't wait to hear what the kid turns that into.
My son's like, can you shorten that up any? I was like, yes, Grandmaster D.
Just D. That's what it'll be. D.
Probably. So, D. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, the grandparents all got the same name. Like, it was, for us, it was Pawpaw or Maw-Maw. And so every side of the family, every generation is all the same. There was no different. I think at some point you graduated, like when you were great grandparent, you were now granny.
No, ours, it was different. But yeah, similar to what you're saying, we didn't have all of these, you know, wide variety of variables. It was Ma, Pa, and then my great grandparents were Ma Clark and Ma Grannell.
Yeah, and you just used the name. The South,
yeah, you just you gave them the which side of the family.
Yeah,
and then so on my mom's side, it was Granny.
Yep. So I don't know, but apparently you can choose all kind of different names now, and some of them are a little bit crazy. What was one my wife said something Babushka was one.
That's a good one though. That's one.
I don't know. I have a mental picture of something that is not appropriate when I hear that word. So I said, you can't use that.
See, but you should look up other languages for grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
That you like, or maybe Grandmaster D in, say, Spanish or something.
Yeah, the interesting thing was, you know, none of the lists I looked at for grandfather had Grandmaster D in it. I don't understand why.
Everybody would have been on that.
Of course, the funny part also is that when you look up list of grandfather names, there's like 10. When you look up grandmother names, there's like 400, which, you know.
Tells you a lot, doesn't it?
It's like, yeah, women are a little more needy with how many, you know, kind of name they can be called. And they don't want to be called the same name as the other grandparent. You know, it's got to be different.
Yeah, it gets
Yeah. So throw in the blended family dynamic that we have and it gets even worse. Yeah.
Yeah, we go through that, but it's not, you know. I know what you should be. My nephew's called their other grandfather Big Daddy.
My stepson calls his grandfather Big Daddy, to which I constantly poke fun at. So I don't want to be called. But see, you know, that fits though, if they call me Big Daddy and then call Lori Big Mammy. But she did not like that as an option. And I'm sure our editor, Boyan, will remind her of this conversation.
Yeah, he'll share it.
As a matter of fact, he's already told me that be looking for some revealing things in the Christmas episode that he'll be doing.
TikTok. And that's coming up quick.
I know it is. Yeah. So. All right. So what else do we have going on? You want to give the boot camp date? You remember that?
2/22/22. I'm so excited that I can do that.
Yeah.
I am so excited.
So the next HIPAA boot camp will be virtual and will be February 22nd. And then after that, sometime in the fall, we are planning something of a boot camp, but not HIPAA. Privacy and security is what it's going to be.
It's a PriSec boot camp.
Yep.
We're going bigger and better every time.
Learn how to secure your privates and come to the privacy and security boot camp.
That's our tagline, securing your privates.
Is that what it's going to be? We may have all kind of people sign up for that one.
Yeah. So that's September 12th, and it's going to be in person. And right now, we believe that will be in Louisville, Kentucky. So
that's going to be fun.
You can right now sign up for the virtual one on 2/22/22.
That's right.
At thehippabootcamp.com. There you go.
Yep. Go ahead and start stocking up on your goodies powders, getting ready for the Kentucky trip.
Yep. Yep. We're leaving tomorrow, going to do a site visit so that I can find things. But I've already started. The easiest session for me that I've already started building is the bourbon and breeches session. So that we're going to do a breech story with a matching bourbon tasting.
in the evening, I hope.
No, I was going to do it for breakfast.
I figured you might.
No. This is going to be a happy hour event. So, okay. There you go.
Bourbon and breeches.
And which, for those by the way,
it's an idea you've had for a long time.
Yeah, it's my brother's fault. But it's going to be spectacular. It'll be worth the whole thing to do bourbon and breeches for me. So I'm excited about it. And, I mean, we are getting some really interesting things planned so that you'll get that intense training of learning from, you know, the details. This is not a conference where you go and you go to this session and that. No, it is hardcore training. It's still a boot camp. It's just going to have a lot more participation in it. So that's the way we like it. At any rate, if you want more information, contact at helpmewithhipaa.com or any of the other 4,000 ways it seems like people reach out to us.
Yeah, there's no website on this one yet.
Yeah, not it's not out there yet, but coming soon. You'll probably be able to sign up. I would look for it that you could sign up for it in time for at the 2/22/22 time frame, because that's a date I know. Anyway, on with the show, because we have screwed around today more so than normal.
Yep. All right. Before we do that, thanks to our donors. We appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Guys.
Love you guys. All right. So let's get to our HIPAA.
Say what?
Or as Donna would say, HIPAA say what the?
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yeah, this one's kind of.
Or Whiskey Tango Alpha Foxtrot these days.
Yeah. All right. So go through this one, because I honestly read through it more than twice, and me I'm too. Still going, what?
There's still a lot I am not following in this. But because we did follow the 7-year corrective action plan deal, which was insanely complicated, that the New Jersey AG had done, then New Jersey AG announces another HIPAA settlement going back to a 2016 incident. So I thought, well, let's see what they're doing there. It was, I agree with you, and I welcome anybody else that our listeners who can go read it and find a succinct way to explain it, because there are a lot of things that don't make sense.
Yeah.
So yeah. That being
said, if you're in New Jersey,
Okay, so
isn't Gary in New Jersey?
No, Jerry is.
Jerry, not Gary.
Gary's in New York. Jerry's in New Jersey.
Yeah, Jerry's okay. So too many new people, like New Jersey, New York.
Okay,
and closely related names. All right, so two printing companies, which, you know, here again, you need to know what you're doing for people. But they got to pay $130,000 in penalties to implement new security policies.
Yeah, that was the headline. They're going to these two printing companies. So I'm settling with two printing companies for $130,000, and they're going to implement new security policies. So I'm thinking two separate incidents. I don't know. So then I read it, and I got partway through it, and I had to go back to the beginning again because I needed to go through the definitions one more time because it wasn't making sense.
It still doesn't
make
sense.
And then it still, I'll tell you, I worked on these notes multiple times before I gave it to you, trying to see if I could find a way to explain it. So there's Command Marketing Innovations is a company that provides print and marketing solutions to its clients. So it says in the definition. Then you have, so that's CMI. And then we have Strategic Content Imaging, SCI, that provides digital print, finishing, and fulfillment services to businesses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we have the third player in this, where they quote, customer refers to a New Jersey-based managed healthcare organization. And here's the kicker now. This is where it gets, right here, you think you got it. But in a minute, you won't.
Yeah.
So it's a managed healthcare organization. Okay, it's a plan, a HMO kind of thing, which they say customer, but then later they say Horizon. So we know who it is, but with whom CMI executed a BAA, and for whom CMI agreed to provide mailing, fulfillment, and printing services, including their EOBs.
Okay.
So we think we got this. All right. So I'm looking at this. I'm like, okay, so the plan hires CMI, who then subcontracts with SCI to do the actual printing. That's what it seemed like.
That's what it sounded like.
Right. But then the wheels fell off. because then there's a statement, and this is in the court papers. This is not like in an article. This is all from the, you know, because that's what I'm reading. At all relevant times, CMI is and has been, here we go, a covered entity. And business association.
Yeah, like, it's like, what? A covered entity?
And a business associate, CMI, is a covered entity and business associate.
Now, I think
that's not impossible. You can be both. However, not in this scenario.
No. I think what it is they don't understand the relationship. Here's my take on it, is that in order
because it gets worse. Let's just say we start off here, but it gets worse.
I'm wondering if what it is they think that you have to be a business associate of a covered entity. You can't be a business associate of a business associate. That's the only way this makes sense, because then they say SCI is a business associate. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if SCI is a business associate of CMI, who's a business associate of a customer, I think that what they think, this is dangerous territory, is that CMI has to be a covered entity because you can't
be a.
That's what I think they're doing here, is they don't understand that a business associate can be a business associate of a business associate.
Yeah, you. So many people are business associates of business associates and don't even know it.
Right. So that's the only way it makes sense. Otherwise, where's this covered entity thing come in? It just doesn't work.
If that is true, then what we're saying is that they're filing things about that they don't understand.
True.
So
but they spell HIPAA right.
They did spell HIPAA right, which they didn't in the last one. Okay, so, you know, but what happened in 2016, late October, early November, SCI, the third, you know, down at the bottom of the hill, so to speak, changed its printing process by increasing the size of the paper it used to print. And it did not conduct sufficient quality control checks before amending its printing process. And this change caused the front page of one member's EOB to become associated with the back page of another member's EOB.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. So SCI's quality assurance system failed to identify the mistake, because the system only checked the front pages, not the back pages, for error. Okay, and then it throws in, CMI did not detect this error prior to mailing.
Yep, so SCI didn't catch it in printing, CMI didn't catch it in mailing.
I know, but usually when you print, it goes right into the envelopes.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying. So there's that alone now. I'm not quite sure what that scenario is. But we'll leave it at that, because normally it would be SCI's problem. In a normal HIPAA world, SCI would be their CMI. I don't know. So they're both. I swear, I read it during the day. I read it at night. I read it first thing. I cannot get this.
It gets better.
or worse. So, so then that, so that's what happened. And then we get into the corrective actions, and SCI shall become this, their corrective action for these people. SCI shall become certified for high trust within 120 days of the effective date of this agreement, if not already certified as of, and shall annually maintain high trust certification.
That ain't gonna happen.
You can't get high trust certified like, oh, okay, somebody go get, you know, that's just, you. No. You don't get high trust certified in 120 days. I mean, you got to have a head start. You could be close, but that's just not how high trust works, number one. Number two, demanding high trust certification does nothing in this scenario. It would not have changed what happened here. So to me, I'm looking at this like nothing here makes sense. Nothing. And then just for good measure, it really doesn't make sense.
Yeah, this one made me have to read it all over again.
I've read it three times, like, surely I'm not reading this. Okay, so we've talked about the business associate, the covered entity, the business associate, the business associate. And the middle business associate, CMI, is being dinged because they didn't catch SCI's problem. So they're it's all in the mix somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no one has stopped doing business with anyone from what we can tell. But maybe they have. I don't know. Because that's also, I couldn't make that work out with the way I was reading it. CMI certifies that part of its current business operation, CMI does not create, receive, maintain, or transmit PHI or EPHI. Okay, either they got out of healthcare or I can't make this work.
Yeah, so you are a business associate, okay, but you don't do any of the things that make you a business associate.
Yes.
So, I, you know, if I didn't know anything else, I would assume that this is one of those, you get a BAA, you get a BAA, you get a BAA. But I do think they are probably a BA.
I mean, they can't. If they were a BA in the first place, they're a BA now, unless they're no longer in the middle.
Yeah. Okay. But keep reading, because then it gets even more confusing.
To the extent that CMI's business operations change in any way, which causes CMI to create, receive, maintain, or transmit PHI or EPHI, CMI shall become certified by high trust before creating, receiving, maintaining, or transmitting EPHI. Again, wouldn't have fixed this problem at all. No. And, you know, high trust, to become high trust certified, we're talking, what, $60,000 just to get there? Maybe. And I mean, this is super expensive. It's run by the insurance companies, and you know, there's value to it, but at the same time, small companies to get and maintain high trust certification, small companies just not going to be able to do that.
I think they went out and said, okay, we need these people to be HIPAA certified. And then they find out, oh, there's not a HIPAA certified. Okay, well, what's the next closest thing to HIPAA certified? Okay, there's this thing called high trust certified. Okay, let's make them that.
So they don't understand the CEBA relationships. Clearly, they're it makes no freaking sense.
So, I can't make sense of it.
No. So, you know, and then to throw high trust certification in there, which would no way make any difference in what happened. That's the part that drives me nuts. I mean, it wouldn't change what happened. Like I always, people, we got an email this week where somebody said, hey, I'm trying to learn more about high trust. Have you guys covered it in the podcast? So I was like, yeah, we talked about it several times. But here's the things that are important when you talk about high trust certification, it's the same thing we talk about when people talk about HIPAA certified. High trust certification is a point in time.
And yeah, not only that, but it's, you know, you can limit the scope drastically.
Yes. So number one, it's a point in time. Number two, I can say, don't look at any of this piled up mess over here. Only look at this neat closet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And certify that. And I can do the same thing with SOC. I can do that with any of those certifications. Mm-hmm. And the final point I make is Anthem had just renewed their high trust certification when they had a breach of 80 million patients.
Yeah, not good.
So that does not solve anything at all as far as this is concerned. So again, if anybody wants to read it and try to figure it out and let us know, feel free.
Yeah, really. All righty. So that brings us to the main topic, which will be easier to understand.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So this we're going to talk about now is the team approach to privacy and security because, you know, teamwork makes the dream work, baby.
Sometimes I'm just not ready. Yes, this is Shreddit, the document destruction people. They do a data protection report, and the headline was that the report deems investment in data information security no longer optional. Well, we've been saying that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say, there's a lot of stuff in here where we're like, yeah, we've been saying that. But this is an excellent report for people to have to reference when you are making business decisions, when you need to talk to leadership, when you're trying to figure out where you belong in the big picture. So that's what I picked it up for first is, hey, I really like the approach they've taken. I like the data analysis that was done. So we're going to hit on a few of those, but the best part actually was some of their recommendations. So this report, it's across a lot of industries, but it covers five. Healthcare is one of them, finances, professional services, insurance, and real estate. And it also collected information from people who are C-level executives, consumers of those companies, and made sure that part of them were small, you know, the SMBs, small, medium business. So you get a good look at what's going on because you're looking at what high-level people in the company think, what the consumers think, and you can also break it down in the different industries as well as small versus large companies. So I thought, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you get to be nerdy with it because, I know people think we make stuff up. And sometimes we do. But not about this. We don't make up the business stuff. Although sometimes we've gotten very creative with our Halloween episodes. Here's some details that are just snippets out of here. 4 out of 10 business leaders rate the risk of an attempted data breach in the next 12 months as a 4 or 5 on a 5-point risk scale. So it's pegged out. More than 50% of business leaders don't have an incident response plan. None. Zero. They got nothing. Bad idea. We talk about the way to make things survivable in a data breach is to have a plan. Over 80% of consumers decide who to do business with based on a company's reputation for data security. That is huge. That number hasn't been that high when I've seen it before, but I could see that it would be changing.
Yeah. I'd love to know how they're getting that data. Like how is a customer getting the reputational information? Well,
all they do is Google the company.
Which goes to say that if you hit the news for any reason for a data issue, privacy and security issue, not good.
Because that's how they're going to find out.
It's called brand damage.
I thought you were going somewhere else there. 40% of data breaches are caused by external partners. 40% partners, not malicious attackers, partners. And 25% of the total is by an employee error.
Well, there's 65% right there.
Yeah, I think they may be crossover, but we'll leave it at that. Yeah. Now, keep in mind that 50% that didn't have the incident response plan,
mm-hmm.
that's across everything. And I didn't point out that this also is Canadian businesses as well as U.S. When they break this down of the ones that the C-levels who say they don't have an incident response plan, 63% in the United States don't.
Woo.
And when they go to small businesses in the United States, it's 67%.
Honestly, I thought it'd be higher than that.
Well, and how many times? Well, it's like the guy at Vermont, one of the first things when he did his presentation, that spotlight webinar, which we should add to a link to, is one of the best webinars I've seen as far as understanding the impacts and how to deal with ransomware attacks. But his first thing was, we thought we were prepared on paper. Mm-hmm. So they probably think they have them when they don't.
Somebody's like, I downloaded one.
And they make the point in this report, a quote is, when the estimated cost of a data breach is $13,786 per day. So now there's a decision-making process right there. If I have mm-hmm. a data breach and I'm going to be down, or I'm going to be dealing with this for 20, 30 days, that's where the number comes in. And they point out, it is imperative that a business have an incident response plan and remediate it quickly so that I can reduce that. And approximately 3 in 10 consumers, so more in the United States, 32% in the United States, will share their experience with others. So, you know, people overshare all the time. I'm pretty sure that's what social media is for. And 1 in 4 will stop doing business with the company responsible for the breach.
Mm.
So 23% in the U.S. And here's a number to keep in mind for everybody that always worries about the lawsuits. 13% sought compensation from the company. And 80%, that, I mean, so if I've got 80% are going to do it based on your, you know, they're going to make a look at whether or not you're trusted. It gets really complicated. So there was a number here, and I'm not quite sure about this. This was reported by C-Suite folks that in 2021, 53% of data breaches were caused by a malicious insider. We just talked with Ray. We just did a whole
mm-hmm.
story about how things go awry and how yeah. they lure people.
I would say, I mean, even in my personal experience, the data breaches, vast majority of data breaches have been insider. And it's not malicious necessarily. Most of them have been people just doing something stupid.
Yeah, I mean, you've got that it's due to employees, but it's the malicious ones everybody will worry about the most, and that number is growing. And a lot of it has to do with what the attackers are doing, going out and bribing people to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So then it goes into, all right, we see that this is problematic, but what can we do to fix it? 50% of the business leaders indicate that the lack of understanding of the threats and risks to the organization is the biggest barrier to employees following information security. Now, you and I both know, who's the ones most likely not going to follow it?
The business leaders.
And who's the ones most likely not going to pay attention when you're trying to give them a presentation about the threats that we face?
The business leaders.
I'm just saying. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're a business leader listening to this, every time that I have ever talked in any forum about privacy and security, the vast majority of people roll their eyes when I say something about getting the C-suite on board.
That'll never happen. Not,
yeah. Yeah. They're all like, we can't get the C-suite to even pay attention. The business leaders don't care about this stuff. They give it lip service. If you're a business leader, you need to take this stuff seriously because you are the weakest link, my friend.
Because at some point, you're going to be writing a letter saying, we take privacy and security seriously.
Yeah.
Of course. You know what? The ones that do can prove that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got to say. You got to prove it. They did do some specific notes about each industry and healthcare preparedness. Apparently, in 2020, there was a 73% increase in the number of confirmed data breaches in healthcare. Now, I don't remember pulling the numbers for last year's, but confirmed data breaches, I don't know if they're just pulling that from the OCR numbers, which means it's even worse because the OCR published breach portal doesn't have all of them.
Mm-mm.
But they understand that it pays to be prepared. They state security is very important to their company. 75%, 62% believe a data breach would be costly. 54% feel a data breach would have a major impact on their reputation. I think they need to revisit that one after they let them read this.
Yeah, I mean, well, just on the first one, 75% state information security is very important to their company. First of all, who are the 25% of the idiots who said it's not? How do I get a list of those people to not do business with?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, on the other side of it, 75%, you know, say it's very important, but also oftentimes they're not dedicating resources to it either.
Right.
So it's important, but we don't know what to do with it.
So we've got that. It's very important, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Here we go. So then it goes on to say healthcare is, they're better than any other industry as far as actually thinking they need to be prepared. So then they start asking more questions. They have employee information security policies. 64%. Okay. I'm sorry. Unless you're not covered by HIPAA, that's a required element to have them. That should be 85, 90, 95%. So right away, you got an issue with the 75%.
Yeah. If 75% says it's very important, then that number should not be less than 75%.
Thank you. All right. And then have regular infrastructure auditing. 48%. If you're not looking, trouble's a-cooking. That's all I got to say.
All of a sudden, that 75% number seems to be a bit inaccurate.
Perform vulnerability assessments, 33%.
Ooh.
All of a sudden, it's like, beep. But good news is 85% have a cyber insurance policy.
That's because that's their plan.
That is their plan. Because remember now, they're most likely of any other industry to have a response plan, 58%. 58%. And they're the most likely. So, no, that it may sound good when we start with the 75, but Yeah. So.
And you want to know why you're
looks
in the
news. Pretty for a minute, and then you start thinking about it and putting all the numbers together, and it's like.
It's almost as bad as the opener. Trying to figure out where this stuff makes sense.
Uh-huh. But it's that disconnect.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We do take it seriously, but when I ask questions about what that would actually involve, well, no, we're not doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
So in your mind, I feel that I'm supposed to have it serious and worry about it, but the things that would actually mean I'm doing that, well, no, that's not what I'm doing, but I do take it seriously. I'm just not doing anything about it.
Yeah, it's kind of like, my health is very important. Now, I'm not going to go get on a treadmill, and I'm certainly not going to give up pizza and ice cream, but my health is very important. Yeah. So, you know, that's the way I deal with my health issues. It's super important to me that I stay healthy, but I'm not going to do anything that keeps me there.
Hand me that big tall boy PBR. There you go.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you're such a beer guy. So, but then the report does have these great sections about okay, so how do we fix this? What do we do to improve these numbers? There's a section that says understand your data.
Yep.
Okay, so you start with that. But then there is prepare to act. And this section I thought was great because prepare to act. Policies are not enough. I did not check a box on compliance. And the protecting data is a team sport.
I like it.
Well, you know, we built Card and Club with a branding that's like a football club, you know, but the rest of the world's football, not, you know, so soccer here, football everywhere else. But it's all about promoting that it's a team. You're part of a team. You need to play your part in the big picture for us to take on this challenge and win the battle. So it comes up with the 7 recommendations of how we would do this. These are the things to create the strong line of defense to prevent a data breach. These are the 7 things they came up with, and I loved it. All right, so here we go, David. Create a security-minded corporate culture for data protection best practices.
Culture of privacy and security.
We've talked about that. Well, knock me down and steal my teeth. Double D's done told you that.
Too bad that's too big to put on a shirt.
Well, we could try it. I was working on one design that had knock me down and steal my teeth on the front. And on the back, Double D's done told you that. I think that's what.
Now you should put Double D's on the front.
Oh, jeez. And off we go. So.
Well, you know, some people are always like, they're not talking to you. Look here at me.
That's it. That's exactly it. So, back to the team sport. I've got a whole theme here now. Back to the team sport thing. So we're going to discuss this from a team sport branding kind of thing, that you have to be a member of the team. And one of the things they pointed out is that you get the employees and you give them all the training and stuff, and then you don't make sure they understand the big picture of a breach, because so many people think, well, boy, IT is going to be busy that day. Yeah, you have no idea. It'll impact your day-to-day business in a big way and could impact your job security. They make that point that if we don't start telling people that, you know, you got to realize that this literally could put you out of business in a way that is a lot more possible than people think. So we have to have the whole team involved. So when we look at it from a team sport, I know you were the martial arts guy, but the strategy is still there. You don't have martial arts, even in those kind of individual sports. They don't just show up. They don't do everything on their own. They have, if you're going to be super successful at this, which we all have to be, you have a team behind you.
Yep. So we have training camps.
Yeah. They have all kinds. Prepare. And so you have to have leadership. You have to have management going on, coaching, the support staff, the practice teams that, you know, you get to whoop up on, and you got to have qualified reserves in the team sports. So that's the part of what we're trying to do, is to make everybody realize you're part of this somewhere. So figure out where all the people are. And then institute policies accompanied by role-based training. Well, knock me down and still... Okay. Okay, but again, this is something that we cover frequently, and they make a point in their comment. Businesses should implement policies to address the information security of the enterprise, the privacy of consumers' data, regulatory security guidelines, such as those for HIPAA in healthcare and Graham Leach Bliley in financial, and physical security for data in all forms. That's great. Makes sense. We take privacy and security seriously. However, this part right here, that last sentence, but for the policy to be effective, businesses should provide training programs to help employees put the information into practice
mm.
to ensure understanding and adherence. Yeah. The people that walk by you and go, I don't have time for that. I know this is what I'm supposed to do, but I don't have time for that. And they just don't care. You're going to have to come down. You're going to have to start. Either you change your policy or you change your people. One or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So my analogy here, if you don't get the message to the team, then it doesn't matter how many plays you write up. Whatever plans you have, any of those things, if everybody doesn't understand the importance of their position and why they have to carry out their job for everybody else to do theirs, you know, it's not going to happen. And it's the minimalist thing. You know, imagine that your team's crushing it on the soccer pitch. I mean, they are crushing it. But all the people that are supposed to make sure they're hydrated just don't show up with any kind of water even, much less sports. You got nothing. They ain't going to be crushing it for long.
Mm-mm.
They're going to be grabbing their calves and rolling around on the ground and stuff. Next is evaluate your data protection policies. Actually, check to see if they work and explain why we do that. If you explain why you do that, you know, it will matter.
Yeah. Well, just the evaluation of policies should be happening, you know, regularly. At a minimum annually.
Yeah.
At a minimum.
We recommend people take one or two policies every month and review them. Make it doable.
But I don't know about you, but for the people who do have something, because most of the time I say, what's your policy and procedure? And I'm like, what? But for those who do have something, I'm like, when's the last time you reviewed this? And they're like, what?
Nah.
You know, they drew it up and they stuck it on the shelf somewhere. They don't
They checked the box.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important, you know, there's an old sales joke about where the sales manager is yelling at the salespeople because they haven't met their goals for the year. And what are we going to do? You're not doing this. And one of the new sales guys was an ex-NFL player. And they ask him, you know, what happened when the team didn't perform? And he goes, honestly, yeah, you tell everybody what happened. We usually got a new coach. So sometimes it's not that your team is bad, it's that the plays are bad. And if you're not evaluating them, you know, you're not going to be sure that they're effective and efficient. And, you know, people don't follow policies that don't work or that aren't enforced. So you've got to do that. Train employees to be a viable front line of defense. Yes. If I have the policies, I have checked the box of compliance. That's what we usually find.
Yeah. Well, just knowing that they're part of the line of defense is something that most people don't even get. Like, they don't even know you have a responsibility to protect the data. You are part of a line of defense. You're either going to be a good part of it or not, but you are there.
Now, I saw in a panel discussion, one of the CISOs, CIOs, one of those folks, said that they had gotten into the habit now, any colleague that they're working with and they're somewhere and they need to introduce them, it doesn't matter what their job is. You know, they could be in accounting, they could be on a production floor, anywhere, doesn't matter. He introduces them as a member of his cybersecurity team.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I loved it. So, you know, everybody's a member of the cybersecurity team. Number one, that is huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make everybody understand we need you to be vigilant for a reason. And they talk about even doing incentives. I know it's hard to believe, but humans usually need to be motivated to do things. Modified. Where did that one come
up
from?
You come up with some words today.
I don't know where that one came from. Motivated to do things, yes. So you got to get them involved. A lot of times, being part of the team, train towards a goal. You know, positive reinforcement many times will be better than negative reinforcement. I know people don't understand that. We just talked about that earlier, didn't we? So,
I don't have much carrots. I don't have any carrots, but I got some sticks.
Here's a carrot. Anybody happy? All right.
While you're bending over to get the carrot, I'll pop you that stick.
That's the way it works for so many places. Address insider threats. Consider implementing two-factor authentication for all users when accessing critical systems and applications.
Well, how about this? Just having unique usernames and passwords might even be a good start.
Yeah, because that's what you're supposed to do. But you've got to accept that it exists, and you have to evaluate it and watch for it and understand it. And that was our whole episode with Ray. Was, you know, the concept of we've got the policies, procedures, training, but we don't have to look because our people are good. No. You know, it's that one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. You know, that whole proverb we've heard over and over. But what's really bad is when, you know, I absolutely hate to see it. I just shake my head like, clearly you don't get it. When that is said, it means I have to get that out. Or it will spoil the whole bunch. I can't just go, well, there's a bad apple in there.
I guess the rest of them's going to go bad. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, well.
You know, we'll try to save the good ones.
Maybe better luck next time.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's a few bad apples and otherwise we're good does not solve anything. All it does is acknowledge all your apples are going to be bad. Mm-hmm. You know, that you're lucky you'll be able to have any. So you can't just make that excuse, you know, and say, for the most part, everybody's good. Not when it comes to cybersecurity. One click.
Mm-hmm.
One click. One person taking the money and giving away their credentials or downloading the data and stealing it. But, you know, it's like they always say. So the team sport thing, you know, if the team is doing really well, you don't hear a lot of issues, but if the team's doing bad, you'll hear them talking about communication challenges, problems in the locker room. That's your one bad apple bringing down the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have a bad apple on a solid team. How many championships teams you go, well, for the most part, everybody's good. We got those two bad apples, but we still got the championship.
Nope.
And those bad apples could be on any area of the team. You know, it could be front office. Could be a bad apple. Employ an incident response plan. Beep, 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 beep. Maybe you heard that one before.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. They said employ an incident response plan.
Yeah.
Not create one.
Yeah.
Or buy one. Whatever. But actually use it, test it, employ it.
Demonstrate competence.
Prove it works.
Yes. So this line right here, consumers rapidly lose trust in brands and organizations that do not alert them of a security breach involving their personal data in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had somebody I was looking at having to be a vendor, and they were telling me they had 60 days to let us know and we could handle whatever. I'm like, no. No, no, mm-mm. No.
Well, you're not, you that's and I, when we breaker. Were looking at, when we were looking at the Scripps incident, when it was happening, we realized that the notification in a timely manner is very different when you're a consumer.
Yeah.
Because it was what, 3 days or so, maybe a week later. And people are like, they've not notified me yet. And, you know, they're crawling the wall because no notification within 7 days.
Yeah. You know, and some of these new laws are saying you got to let them know within 48 hours. And I'm like, I don't know how.
Yeah, that's,
you know, some of these cases, it takes forever to figure out what data was involved. So either I got to just tell everybody, even though I'm going to like freak people out that nothing happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a tough place to be, but you got to be prepared.
Yeah. This is why you have people that don't understand this area are making rules and laws about it.
Oh, this, reference this the say what?
yeah, exactly what I was going to say. This is how you end up having covered entities and BAAs who aren't covered entities and BAAs.
Yeah.
Or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. And then the seventh and final one is invest in cyber insurance and expert help. Bam! You know we told you that. Yep. Double D done said that a bunch.
So wait a minute. Invest in cyber insurance and
expert help. Although these days, everybody's an expert in everything because they can Google it. Or I saw it on Facebook.
I do have a degree in Google. But yeah, I mean, can you think of any expert help that people might be able to invest in?
Yeah. I don't know. Us. Me, you.
Let's see. We have HIPAA Boot Camp. We have Security First IT. We have Cardin.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of expert help you can invest in.
Mm-hmm. And you can even get some expert help for free. Free, for free, yeah. Free.
Yeah. It's called Freebie Fridays.
Oh, no, no. We got a new one. We're Freebie Fridays. But... it's the same thing with the teams. The teams have trainers and doctors and lawyers, and there's PR firms, and there's people that just run around and give them a clean towel. It is heavily invested in people that are well versed in their specific job. And one of the points this makes is if you have the insurance and you have a data breach, you can make those investments. But I would argue making those investments in advance makes them less expensive later. But we hear it so many times, I have insurance.
Yeah. Yeah, which it does make me wonder why insurance doesn't push more to have the expert help in place to in do advance. Those things.
Yeah.
Because it lowers the insurance costs. When there is an incident. Yeah. So, I mean, they do some things. Like, I mean, I have clients all the time sending me, hey, my cyber insurance wants me to fill out this stuff. It's interesting the range of things I see. I've seen everything from here's five questions to here's five pages of questions.
Yeah.
Which is, the cyber insurance is still very, very new.
Well, and the rates are going through the roof. I was talking with some at the conference we were at last week, and I was talking with some of the insurance folks, and they're like, it's insane because everybody's still trying to figure it out. But, you can listen to our interview with John earlier this year, John Miller, Sterling Seacrest Pritchett.
Partners.
No, now they have Sterling Seacrest Pritchett. They merged again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They didn't have to change the P. It's not partners, it's Pritchett or something. Anyway, the net of it is he said that I'm assuming you're doing HIPAA as a minimum. And I that is like before the rates started going skyrocketing this year. Mm-hmm. So they're going to start doing more. And the fact is if you do this, and there were conversations about, you said that you do this, but when something happens, it happens because you're not doing this. Now, have you committed fraud? You lied on your application. We're not going to pay it.
Yeah. Or you've had an incident. Okay. Pull out all your proof. Okay. Because now all these things you said you were doing, let's show the proof. It's in the pudding.
Oh, pudding. That's the name. That's it. That's going to be your grandfather name, pudding. I have nailed it. He's going to be pudding. No. Yeah, it is. Pudding pa. That's it. Pudding pa. She can be pudding.
No, you're going off the chain. We're going to have to wrap it up. Oh man. So there you go. How to make the dream work with teamwork. So get everybody involved. This is that's how you end up having more people become more aware of what's going on. They take things and it becomes something that they pay attention to because now they know that they're part of this team and mm-hmm. they don't want to fail the team. So you put a little bit of peer pressure on people.
Yeah.
So do that.
It works.
Yep, it does. All right, folks, that is our show for today. Remember to help us by sharing us out and send us out to your favorite social media. And rate our podcasting app. If you don't know it, we have an app for that. And there's some cool stuff in the app, too. So check it out. Help us spread the word. And as always, for Donna and myself, remember, HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grindle and David Sims. The show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grindle or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.